Hello everyone listening online, members of our church family here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton, and others who are listening online, locally, nationally and globally. So without further ado, Judy's going to read our scripture reading, which is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28.
It's titled The Faith of a Canaanite Woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray now as we reflect upon it and apply it to our own situation and context, your Holy Spirit would come and make it a living word into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a tricky passage of scripture because on the surface, Jesus comes across as being insensitive, prejudiced, and rude. You might even wonder why Matthew kept this incident in his gospel. It was obviously something that really happened, or he wouldn't have kept it in, he would have got rid of it. But in the wrestling with this incident, it also we learn about our own prejudices and our own biases. It's difficult when you reflect on Jesus and you make value judgments about him as a human being, and you wrestle with the tension between Jesus being fully human and fully God at the same time, and how does that relate to how he was shaped by his culture and how he was brought up. It raises lots of difficult issues. But I think Jesus as a human being was shaped by the culture and values of his Jewish community. And then, and even today, they viewed Gentiles, non-Jews, as unclean and called them dogs, Gentile dogs. But I also think Jesus sees beyond the limitations of his own culture and wants to teach his disciples something. He sees the opportunity as a teachable moment. And also, I think he was surprised and challenged by the woman. The woman surprised him. She bested him, if there's such a word, and she even beat him in an argument. She's the only person in the Gospels ever to get the better of Jesus in an argument or a discussion. So we see at the beginning in verse 21 that Jesus had withdrawn to the region of Tyre and Sidon, pagan territory. He's gone there for a break to get away from the hassles he's having from the religious and the political authorities. He needs time for himself to think and reflect about what it means about his vocation going to the cross, and also to teach his disciples about what's going to happen in the coming days and weeks, so that they could understand what it was all about. The region of Tyre and Sidon is Lebanon today, which is quite interesting, especially due to the recent events there, of the big explosion and the disaster that we had there. So we see Jesus and his disciples going away for a break, going away for a retreat, getting away from the hostility and the confrontation that they've faced, going to a Gentile area where they'll be less known and they won't come into conflict with the religious and the political authorities. So he was probably wanting a bit of time out. And he goes on a break, and what does he get? He gets a woman shouting at him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me," following him and shouting at him. He probably thought internally, "Give me a break. Can't I get some peace?" And it says in verse 23 that Jesus doesn't even acknowledge her. He ignores her. It says Jesus did not answer a word. And you could see his disciples are getting really annoyed. The disciples come to him and urge him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." So the disciples are even more annoyed, and they think she's a nuisance. And they want Jesus to tell her to go away, to get lost, so to speak. So Jesus addresses the pagan woman, and he answers in verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." So Jesus reiterates to this woman that his primary focus, his primary mission, is to the people of Israel and not to Gentiles like her. But she is not put off. She comes before him and kneels down before him in a posture of supplication and says, "Lord, help me." So she's not put off by Jesus's stating of his primary responsibility was to the people of Israel, not to Gentiles like her. And then Jesus ups the ante in what he says. It's difficult here because we don't have the tone of voice in which Jesus was speaking. We don't see his facial features. We don't see if he was perhaps being a bit playful or giving a wink or a nod or joking in this situation. But if we take at face value what he says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Now, it's hardly a complimentary something to call someone a dog or their people group a dog, even if the word for dog here is the more homely translation would be puppies. But even still, it's not, who wants to be called a dog? It's not a complimentary thing at all. Perhaps Jesus was joking here or was using the terminology of the people of his day. But she doesn't get offended. She actually contradicts Jesus and said, "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." So she gives a brilliant answer full of wisdom and wit and says and contradicts Jesus and said, "Yes, it's right to give the dogs some of the food, because even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She's very sharp-witted there. And we can see Jesus's response. Jesus says to "Woman, you have great faith." Now, this is the only time in the Gospels that that is said of a person, that they have great faith. So this woman is seen as an example, a model of great faith, of faith. And he says, "Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that precise moment. Now, the title of this sermon was, is Jesus being racist, or was Jesus being racist? Which might be a bit of a heretical thing to say. But I don't think Jesus was being racist here. I think the disciples were racist towards the Gentiles and towards women. And he unveils their racism to them. And the woman converts or changes both Jesus and his disciples. Maybe the woman made Jesus aware more fully that his mission wasn't just to the people of Israel, but had more universal significance to the Gentile nations as well, which would be come out later, more post-resurrection for Jesus, when he would anoint them and empower them to go and make disciples of all nations. And yes, at this point in history, Jesus's primary mission was to Israel, but he did make space for Gentiles in his interactions. He did dialogue with centurions and Samaritan women who the disciples would never have engaged with, both because they were from another culture, another background, or another gender. The disciples were prejudiced towards women and Gentiles. Who are we prejudiced towards? None of us are free from bias or prejudice. Whatever our background, we have prejudices towards people who are different from us, or have different backgrounds, or different values, or different belief systems. This incident unveils the racism that existed in the lives of the disciples towards this pagan woman. And where are we racist today in our lives? At the moment, how do we view the migrants who've been traveling across in dinghies from France? Do we blame them or sort of use them as a scapegoat for some of the problems in our society at the moment? Or how do we view people from other cultures? It might be people from Eastern Europe or Africans or people from another religion. Or how do we view people with a different sexuality from us? How do we relate to people from the LGBTQ community in that sense? Do we view them with prejudice and suspicion? Jesus found great faith in a pagan outsider. Where do we find great faith outside our people groups? It must take great faith to cross the channel in a dinghy. The legal channels to apply for asylum or immigration are often closed to people. And do we as a nation take our fair share of asylum seekers? If we look at the country in which this incident happened, in the Lebanon, it's a small nation of about 7 million, and they have about 1.5 million of refugees who are Palestinians and Syrians. Nearly a quarter of their entire population is made up of refugees, and they who have less resources than we have are prepared to be more generous to their neighbours who are suffering. And 85% of refugees are normally living in neighbouring countries in developing nations and don't travel to the more opulent West. But even looking at Europe, Spain, France and Germany all take many times more refugees and asylum seekers than we do. I think this issue of how we relate to those who are different, how we relate to the foreigner, the stranger, is very important at the moment. And as we officially enter into a recession, and we will face difficult times in the months and years that face us on the horizon, it would be easy to blame the immigrant, to blame the refugee, to blame the outsider for our problems, when they are not the cause of our problems. We need to be attentive. Often in the media and in newspapers, you get lazy headlines trying to blame immigrants for our problems, when they are not the source of our problems at all. And as Christians, we have to be aware that God is not a racist God, that God is the God of all people. And all people are made in his image, and all people are precious in his sight. So was Jesus being racist? No, I don't think Jesus was being racist. He may have been shaped by his culture, but he was not imprisoned by it. And he saw beyond it, and he challenged the racism of his disciples. So no, Jesus wasn't being racist, but the disciples were. And so are we at times. Let us pray. Father, forgive us for our prejudices and our biases and our institutional supremacy and racism that exists within our culture and our lives and our black background and in the structures of our societies. Help us work for justice, for racial justice, for our brothers and sisters from black and ethnic minority backgrounds, that all people are treated with respect and dignity. And give us courage to be allies to those who suffer from racism and discrimination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now Dave Smith, one of our church members, is going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the weather this week. We thank you for the heat from the sun, but then also the reminder of your awesome power and the thunder and lightning storms that we saw. We thank you for the cooling rains that came with that as well. Father, we just thank you that although we're not together this morning, that you're with each and every one of us, that your hand is upon us and we can feel your presence in our lives. Father, we just pray for the people in Beirut with the after effects of that devastating explosion there, and that they can start to rebuild their lives and their properties. And we just thank you for this, that you are there helping them out. And Father, we just pray as well for our young people, the young people that have received A-level exam results this week and the ones this coming week that are going to receive their GCSE results. Just pray that you're with them. If it's not the results they were expecting, that something can be done to help them. And we just pray for the young people as well, as they go back to school, whenever that may be, that you ease any anguish they have, anything that troubles them, that you will be there, that you'll help them out. And Father, we just pray for the fact that last weekend we could spend camp, not away together, but camping at home, and we did that through technology. We thank you for the technology to bring us all together, and we thank you for the guys that put all of that together. And whilst we're thinking about our church, we just pray for the deacons. We thank you for all the hard work they've been doing during this lockdown period, and just pray that during this time, that when there are the upcoming elections, that you'll put into somebody's heart and mind that this is something they want to do, a way they can serve you. And we just look forward to coming back together, meeting together, whenever that is. And we just pray that when we do, that any fear and anguish will be lifted from our hearts and we'll be joyful to see each other. And in the time of quiet now, we just think of those who are close to our hearts and may need prayer. Father, we thank you that you are here together with us. We thank you for all you did for us and all you're going to do for us. Amen.
Thanks, Dave, for your prayers. I'll close now with a blessing. Go now into God's world with love and joy and peace and hope in your hearts, and the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week. Have a good week. Go well, and God bless.